34. The rain clouds split like overripe melons, drenching the small patrol in an instant. One moment the dark landscape was quiet, and the next it was as if the very world had shaken loose and everything was in turmoil. Alwyn wrapped a small piece of oilcloth around the lock of his musket, but he doubted it would do more than keep the rain out. The powder would already be absorbing the moisture in the air and rendering the musket unable to fire. His spectacles were once again a blurry mess, and the pressure of the rain on his skin made him feel that he was marching 6 feet underwater. He reached around behind him and adjusted the small canvas cover on the cage, looking inside to see how Cuppy was doing. The Shrieks seemed completely unaffected by the rain, the water beating up and rolling off its leathery feathers with ease. He saw Alwyn and gave a quiet growl, revealing his toothy mouth. Alwyn smiled back and patted the cage, careful to keep his fingers from getting between the wooden slats. Daylight was still hours off, and the rain showed no sign of slowing, which meant they'd be walking blind. He heard, or thought he heard, a splash somewhere behind him. But before he could turn, there was a flash of movement up ahead. Alwyn pointed his bayonet in that direction, and cautiously inched forward, trying to watch where he walked, lest he slip and go tumbling into the river, which was quickly growing in size and force.
"Somebody with that thing?"
Alwyn jerked to a stop, his bayonet halfway through Yimt's shako. He pulled it out and grounded his musket, shouting his apology as he did so. The rain fell about them in sheets, making it impossible to see more than a few feet in any direction.
"Napot says the river will crest inside the hour. We'll have to swing wide and get away from it."
Other forms started to appear. Alwyn quietly counted the shadows, praying there wouldn't be one extra this time. There wasn't. Now they were one short. Yimt walked around the circle, peering up into each face. When he was done, he shook his head, sending water flying everywhere. Not that it made a difference.
"Where is Alec?"
Heads shook in the dark. Alwyn remembered hearing the splash.
"I think he might have fallen into the river. I heard something a minute ago. It could have been him."
His heart felt sick. He'd liked Alec.
"Show me where,"
Yimt shouted, motioning for Alwyn to lead the way. A hand reached out and stopped him. It was Critton.
"He's gone. Forget about him," Critton said. "We need to move on."
Yimt grabbed the elf by the arm and pushed him away.
"We don't leave anyone behind. Not if I can help it. Now form a line, grab the other fellow's belt and move. Ally, show us where."
Alwyn felt Yimt grab hold of his belt, and then he was walking toward the river. He imagined this was what sailors felt like being at sea. Water sprayed his face, the noise drowned out any other sound, and everything seemed to be in motion. He felt forward 1 foot at a time, sure he would suddenly plummet into the river and be swept away like Alec.
"I think this is the place," Alwyn said,
trying to judge the distance from where he had been standing and deciding this was it. He could just see the edge of the river a few feet away. The rain frothed along its surface, and here and there dark objects raced by faster than Alwyn liked.
"Now work your way downstream for a bit."
Before he could say he couldn't see a thing, Nabhat was beside him, clutching his arm and smiling.
"Rain good. Bring big fish."
Alwyn tried to smile, but failed. The Elfkainen held out his other hand, and Alwyn reached out for it, feeling the end of a vine.
"You hold tight, or Nabhat no come back."
Just like that, Nabhat was gone, diving headfirst into the river and disappearing from sight. Alwyn screamed and frantically started reeling in the vine, passing it back to Yimt. The vine went taut, and Alwyn was pulled forward before he regained his balance. The river was now perilously close. He leaned backward into Yimt and tried to back up.
"Not yet, Ally. Wait for the signal," Yimt yelled, pushing back.
There was a sharp tug on the vine, then another.
"Now,"
Yimt shouted, and now he began to pull. Alwyn dug his heels in and heaved. Slowly, inch by inch, the vine slid back through his fingers as the other soldiers reeled Nabhat in. Alwyn gasped and took in a lungful of rain. He didn't see how Nabhat could still be alive, let alone Alec. A moment later he saw something dark in the water, and then Nabhat was crawling out of the river, dragging the limp body of Alec behind him. They pulled them another 15 feet from the river's edge.
"Is he dead?"
Alwyn asked, looking down at Alec. All he had on was his jacket and kerna and one sock, everything else having been torn off in the river. His eyes were open and his skin was as white as bone. Nabhat leaned over Alec's head and listened. After a few seconds he stood up and walked a couple of feet away. So Alec was dead. Before that thought had fully registered, Nabhat turned, jumped, and landed with both feet on Alec's chest. Alwyn watched in stunned silence as the little elf Kynan jumped up and down several more times. Each time he landed, water spurted out of Alec's mouth, and his arms and legs jerked up as if attached to strings. On the last jump, his arms stayed up, and then batted wildly at Nabhat's legs.
"Help him up!" Yimt ordered.
Nabhat lightly jumped off as Scully and Teeter grabbed Alec under the arms and hoisted him upright. Alec was coughing and wheezing, but he was definitely alive.
"Are you all right?"
Yimt shouted, grabbing Alec's coat to steady him. Alec coughed a few more times and finally caught his breath.
I think so. One minute I was walking along and the next the ground just vanished and I was in the river. I managed to grab hold of some bulrushes, but I was still going under. That's the last thing I remember until now."
Yimp nodded and let go of his coat.
"You're damn bloody lucky. As it is, you've lost your weapon and most of your kit. Let this be a lesson to the rest of you,"
Yimp said, turning and shouting at the rest of the group.
"Keep your eyes open and pay attention. Now stick close and watch where you step. We're moving on."
Alwyn saw a stick lying in the mud and picked it up and handed it to Alec.
"Here. It's not much, but it's better than your bare hands, you know, in case we find something."
Alec took it and nodded his thanks. And then they were moving, heading away from the river on an angle. Each step away from the water felt wonderful, although the rain continued unabated. Soon they were walking among low shrubs and climbing up a bit of a slope. Alwyn made sure to keep at least 2 bodies in sight at all times, and stumbled more than once over an unseen plant. After another hour of that, a halt was called and heads counted. This time there were 9. Yimt had everyone huddle close together and then draped a section of canvas over them, creating a very small but temporarily dry circle of heads. There was a click and a hiss and a small lantern flickered to life, its tiny flame casting a warm glow on a very strange tableau of seemingly disembodied heads. Alwyn slid the cage off his back and placed it in the center to keep Cuppy out of the rain for a bit. Yimt placed the lantern on top of it and clapped his hands together to get their attention.
"Nabhat says we've gone a mile or so to the west, away from the river. From here we'll head straight north and with luck should come to a forest at daybreak. Now, because of the rain, the regiment won't be able to follow the river either. So when we get to the trees, we'll mark a few to show them our path. Nabhat says his people never go into the forest."
Yimt held up his hands to forestall objections.
"No, not because there is something lurking in there, just because they're river folk, and they stick to the water. All the same, when we get there, keep your eyes open and stay close."
Yimt looked around the circle, taking each face in turn. Alwyn smiled when the dwarf looked at him, and Yimt grinned back, his metallic teeth glinting in the flickering light. And then they were on the move again. The rain slackened as they went, and now that Yimt had steered them away from the river, they were making better time. Yimt spat a stream of croot and ran his sleeve across his mouth. He looked straight ahead as he walked, his shatterbow still cradled in the crook of his left arm as if it was glued there.
"You did a stupid, brave thing earlier, volunteering for this. I'm sure it was because you'd hate to miss out on my cooking, and not on account of that slippery eel of an elf. Been a long time since anyone liked my cooking that much."
They continued walking in silence, Yimt chewing and spitting croot, while Alwyn tried and failed to say something back. Yimt was more father to him than his own, a man who had left him and his mother when Alwyn was only 4.
"I hear you fry a pretty good barajog,"
he finally said. The dwarf harumphed and spat a stream of croot.
Fry borojog? Bah! You want to sauté it, then dice it into cubes for a nice soup. I'll show you how when we get to Lugath Jor.
He turned his head slightly and looked up at Elwyn for a second, nodded and dropped back to fall in step with Teeter. Elwyn took a deep breath and readjusted the cage on his back. Cuppy shook himself a couple of times and settled back down. He unslung his musket and noted with satisfaction that the piece of cork Yimpt had told him to place in the muzzle was still there. The dwarf knew every trick in the book, and probably a lot more that had never been written down. Critton, Elwyn worried, knew them too. Beyond telling them to leave Alec behind to drown, the elf had done nothing sinister, at least not that Elwyn could see, and that was the problem. As hard as Elwyn tried, he was never able to keep the elf in sight for more than a few seconds at a time. His ability to blend with shadows so fluid it defied any rational explanation. He had never put much stock in the whole magical, mystical connection elves were supposed to have with nature. Mr. Yuimi hadn't seemed all that different from any other cobbler. The shoes he repaired didn't sprout vines or give the wearer special abilities, as Elwyn had found out once, trying to leap from one tree to another. Even the major, who looked like every wild elf he'd ever heard about in children's tales, seemed like most officers he'd known. Kinder, more intelligent, perhaps, but still determined to see the job done, no matter what the cost. Now Mr. Coy seemed magical all right, and a witch, which made sense as he thought about it. But Critton was different. Or maybe it was that all the other elves Elwyn knew seemed good at heart. Critton had a dark heart. Maybe that's what let him blend with the shadows so easily. Whatever the case, he wasn't about to let the elf do anything to Yimpt. The rest of the night wore on in a wet haze. Elwyn wasn't sure which he hated more, marching in the broiling sun or in the rain in the dark. He decided neither was pleasant, but at least you could drink the rain. He lengthened his stride a bit to try to stretch. Some time in the night he'd developed a painful blister on the heel of his left foot, and the skin under his arms felt like it had been rubbed raw. He was so wet he couldn't tell what was skin and what was cloth. Not surprising when he looked at the tips of his fingers and saw they were white and wrinkled. He was still looking at his fingers when he bumped into someone and looked up in surprise. Yint and Nabhat scowled at him and went back to whispering to each other, pointing to a dark, blurry shape to their front. The sun was just below the horizon and beginning to light the land around them. Three Section closed up and took a defensive posture, facing out in all directions of the compass. A quick head count confirmed there were still and only 9.
"We go back to river now. Flood go down. It's safe again," Nabhat said, a slight quaver in his voice.
"And crawl through the mud?" Critton asked. "I can see the path into the forest from here. We'll be through and into Lugath Jor before nightfall if we go now. Listen to this river rat, and it'll take us 3 days or more."
Nabhat said something in Elfkynan, and Critton responded in Hinta. Yimpt told them both to shut up.
"Time is not on our side. We need to get to the garrison as quick as we can, and that's through the forest."
Elwyn didn't need to look to imagine Critton's satisfied smirk.
"Maybe you get there, or maybe you don't," Nabhat said.
"Now that we here, I feel trees not safe no more. Go by river and be safe. Almost as fast."
"You aren't going to listen to this little elf Kynan, are you, Archon?" Critton asked. Elwyn tried to look over his shoulder, but the cage on his back hit Scully when he tried to turn, so he gave up and looked back out across the shrubs they had just walked through.
"That's Corporal Private," Yimpt said, his tone quiet and calm. "And I would strongly suggest you watch your mouth. One of these days that temper of yours is going to land you in a heap of trouble."
There was a long silence. Elwyn traded looks with Scully, but he couldn't tell if the soldier was even aware of the argument going on behind them.
"Right. We're going on into the forest as planned," Yimpt said at once. Stay sharp. Don't get caught looking too long in any one direction, and keep your mouth shut.
Scully looked confused.
Where are we going, then?
Three Section turned, and Alwyn saw the forest for the first time. It really wasn't like the forests back home. Everything here was greener and leafier. The path that Critton could see was barely visible to Alwyn, but it looked wide enough for a cart, though he couldn't imagine who would live out here that had one. He pointed toward the trees.
See the forest? There's a path through it.
Scully squinted.
What, that grove of trees?
Yimt banged the side of his shatterbow with the flat of his fist.
Just follow us.
But where are we going? In them trees. I don't like trees.
There was genuine fear in his voice.
What do you mean you don't like trees?
Yimt asked, taking a step toward the soldier.
They're just trees.
Critton,
he said, whipping around to look at the elf.
Have you been putting thoughts in his head?
Critton sneered.
As if they would stay.
Besides, it was the elf Kynan that said the trees weren't safe, not me. After a moment, he hissed between his teeth and raised his hands above his head. He stood like that for several seconds, then closed his eyes and began to chant in Elvish.
What's this about, then?
Yimt asked, turning to Nobhat, who shook his head. Critton did this for several seconds, then suddenly stopped, lowering his hands and opening his eyes.
The trees are friendly.
How do you know?
Scully asked. Critton smiled, and it gave Alwyn no joy at all to see it.
I asked them. The trees will not hurt you.
Scully scratched his head.
You sure?
Critton put a hand over his heart.
Completely. You have nothing to fear from the trees.
This appeared to satisfy Scully, who began walking toward the forest. Yimt snorted and motioned for the rest of them to get moving. He kept looking at Critton, but the elf did nothing to provoke him, and after a minute Yimt moved back to the front of the patrol. Within 100 paces of the forest, the rain began to slacken. By the time they reached the edge of the trees, the rain had stopped, and the sun was stretching out the first rays of light across the land. Curses sounded from several of the soldiers, but Yimt quickly quieted them again, and just like that, they stepped out of the light and back into darkness. With each step deeper into the forest, the light of the sun grew dimmer, as if night was already descending again. Alwyn knew it was due to the thick canopy of leaves high overhead, but it still sent a tiny shiver down his back. Cuppy didn't seem to like this choice of route either, growling and fussing in his cage and beating his wings against the wooden bars. Alwyn had to finally reach around and wrap a hand against the cage to get the shrieks to quiet down, but even then Cuppy still growled. Following Yimt's advice, Alwyn kept his head on a swivel, looking to both sides of the path and even glancing over his shoulder occasionally to check that their number remained constant. The shrieks started beating his wings against the cage again. Yimt turned and pointed at Alwyn to quiet the bird.
"Darn it, old Cuppy, you're going to get us both in trouble,"
he whispered, stopping and shrugging the straps that held the cage to his back off his shoulders. Yimt motioned for a halt. Everyone stopped where they were while Alwyn tried to calm the shrieks down.
"I'd be angry, too, if I was caged up all the time. You want a drink?"
he asked, grabbing his canteen and pouring a bit of water into his hand and holding it to the bars.
"No? Here, how about a chunk of brick?"
Alwyn said, pulling out of his small pack a gray block of baked flour that the Imperial Army insisted was a biscuit. Cuppy ignored it, going completely still. His body looked like something carved out of wood. Not a blink, not even the twitch of a whisker. Water mixed with the brick in Alwyn's hand, and a gray sludge slowly seeped through his fingers. It suddenly felt cold, as if he'd dipped his hand in a fast-running stream. He shivered and realized the temperature had actually dropped. A leaf fluttered down and landed in his palm. It was shriveled, the edges blackened by frost.